Hello and welcome to the SB Live Washington podcast, your weekly conversation about high school sports and the people who play them across the Evergreen State. I'm Andy Bueller, reporter with SB Live. Usually I'm joined by Dan Dickow and Todd Millis, but this week it's just me. So if you miss Dan's insight, he publishes a 3 times per week podcast called The ISO with Dan Dickow. We talk about it all the time on this podcast. It's a conversation with experts in the field of sports, and this week is heavy college basketball with Feast Week underway. On Monday, he had Arizona State coach Bobby Hurley. Wednesday, former Alabama coach Avery Johnson. And on Friday, journalist and author Bud Withers. So find it wherever you get podcasts. And of course, you can find Todd's work at the site, scorebooklab.com/Washington. We've got a lot of piping hot, way too early basketball rankings and the likes, both team rankings, recruiting rankings. We're keeping it churning here at SB Live. So it's Thanksgiving week, which is a great time to reflect on what you're thankful for. I'm thankful for health, thankful to have great coworkers at SB Live like Todd and Dan, and for this job with SB Live that allows me to tell the many great stories of high school athletes where life intersects with sports. And throughout this shutdown, as we've kept this podcast churning and we've kept telling those stories, we're going on 8 months strong, more than that. We've tried to explore that side of sports. What happens when sports are taken away? What happens when the creative outlet, that physical outlet, that emotional outlet is taken away through no fault of your own? And a lot of high school kids have been forced to find out the answer to that because of COVID. It's my goal, it's our goal at SB Live to bring those experiences, those stories to light. And that's in a part what we're going to do this week. We have an exciting Thanksgiving week episode for you. I'm really excited to bring on 2 interviews with high school athletes who right now have a lot to be thankful for. First, I talked to former Wenatchee quarterback Camden Sermon. In August, he was on this podcast after having just moved from Wenatchee to Montana in pursuit of a fall season to gain film and hopefully land a Big Sky offer. The beginning of the season, he won the quarterback job at Sentinel High School in Missoula. And last week, the program won its first state title in 48 years. The next morning, Montana offered Sermon, and he committed on the spot. So a wild week for Camden. He really bet on himself big, and he's seeing it pay off with his approach, his hard work. I'll have a story up on the site. After I talked to Camden, I called up his high school coach, Dane Oliver at Sentinel High School, and he had a lot of really positive things to say about the way that Camden handled himself. Camden and I talk in our interview a little bit about the dynamic between going in and showing up, not long before the season, and trying to win a starting spot with, a presumptive starter at quarterback, and those team dynamics and some of the tension and how he handled himself. I don't necessarily, envy those types of situations that Camden found himself in. But as he'll say, he just tried to keep his head down and stay respectful. And his coach echoed that, basically to a T. He just said, hey, there was, no other player we would have rather have come in than Camden. He was, a mark of professionalism, handled himself really well and contributed all over the field. He played quarterback. He was named a starter, although he split time with the presumptive starter entering the season before he moved in. He also played a little linebacker. He was in on the punt return coverage, a little bit of special teams, and Montana offered him as an athlete. They said, hey, we've seen what you can do here in Missoula at the high school level, and we want more of that in more than one way. So after Camden, I talk with Todd Beamer, offensive tackle, Malik Agbo. He's one of the most highly sought after O-line recruits in the Northwest. Alabama, Tennessee, LSU, Oregon, Washington, they've all offered, many more as well. And during this shutdown, he's played with an upstart padded club football team put on by Tacoma-based Air Academy. It's a training facility, 7-on-7, a private facility founded by a former NFL player, Reggie Ford. The Air team has, during this shutdown, They provided an opportunity for kids who wanted to gain film for their future, for colleges to stand out in the recruiting process, and those who weren't willing to, or those who were willing to, you know, pay for it, have done so. And the Air team last week played its first game in Arizona. They play, as I'm recording this, this weekend after Thanksgiving in Texas. And they're playing kind of a national schedule of private clubs, but padded football nonetheless, and some of the best, better athletes, high school athletes in Washington are playing on this team. So I spoke to Malik about that. So stick around for those two interviews. Great individuals who are leaders, role models, and have a message to folks in their position, folks who are struggling without sports as an outlet. They've found opportunities for themselves. So thanks for tuning in. I hope everybody has a great holiday and appreciate all of you spending a small chunk of it with the SB Live Washington podcast. I'm just sitting here wondering if anybody's had a better last week than Candon Sermon. He helped Sentinel High School in Missoula win a Class AA state title in Montana. It's the program's first win in state title in 48 years. They beat Billings over the weekend, and not 12 hours later, he committed to Montana, where his older brother Cy played, as well as his uncle David, who's the dad of Bothell quarterback Andrew Sermon. Camden is my guest on the podcast for Thanksgiving week. Camden, I appreciate you joining, and I'm guessing that right now you have a lot to be thankful for.
Oh yeah, and that's funny. It's a coincidence. It's on Thanksgiving week, but yeah, I mean, these past couple of days have just been ridiculous, and so there's a lot to be thankful for right now, for sure.
So okay, so we'll get there. I want to hear kind of the insight into how that was over the weekend with everything happening. But let's back up for those who aren't familiar with your story. You moved to Montana this summer, later in the summer, once it became pretty clear there wasn't going to be a high school football season in Washington this fall. That was obviously delayed because of COVID, but in Montana, the state's response is different. The season was still a go. You had connections to Missoula. Your older brother lives there. And, you know, when you moved to Montana, you had several offers at the D2 level. You were really aiming to land one from a Big Sky school. You were told a fall season of film to show would really help. And, you know, this fall season, you got that film. I have to imagine getting that offer from Montana over the weekend felt like a great sense of accomplishment and a kind of a full circle moment.
Yeah, for sure. I think just going through the whole season and, you know, collecting film and all that is great, but making all these memories with my new teammates and then finally finishing off of that state title. And then, you know, I guess that's kind of the end of the journey right there. And then, you know, not, like you said, not 12 hours later, you kind of get your dream phone call. And so that's just kind of a overwhelming amount of joy. And I guess, like you said, it comes full circle and you realize that it was all worth it.
So you guys win the state title on, and you wake up, and did you have a call scheduled with the coaching staff, any coaches in Montana?
Yeah, so Coach Green texted me right after the game and said congrats, of course, and then said, hey, let's get on the phone in the morning. And so I just kind of went to bed, woke up, and gave him a call, and the rest is history.
Do you have a feeling that offer was going to come?
I had a feeling. I mean, you can never be sure. Recruiting is a crazy thing, but I had a feeling, and I was talking to my buddies and they were pretty confident about it. So I just wanted to wait till it happened before making anything or saying anything about it. And it did. So thankful for it.
And you committed right away. Why didn't that decision didn't take long? Why is that?
I've been thinking about it for a long time, for one. For two, like you said, have some family history with it. And then for three, three of my teammates are committed there. And, you know, as you build relationships with them, I love those guys. I don't want to keep playing with them. So that was a no-brainer for sure.
You talk about, you know, we talked in August right when you had moved out there and you still had like a quarterback battle that you were facing. You had to kind of ingratiate yourself among all your teammates. That said, you were going to have to earn everything in the fall and you were still facing that challenge. Now that you look back, like, how did you make yourself, one, indispensable to the team, just as somebody who has to be on the field? And how did you earn the respect and really grow close to your teammates, having showed up kind of right before the season?
For one, you just gotta like listen to what they have to say. You know, like they've been there their whole life, and you're coming in. You can't act like you know everything about that place, and you know you don't know how they, you know, their traditions work and what game day is like. So really, it was just being humble and sitting back and watching them and appreciating them and just trying to lead when you can. And obviously, you just kind of build respect with how you play and how you act as a person in the weight room, everything you do. I just tried to lead by example, and my teammates helped, you know, helped me figure out everything. And I'm really, you know, grateful for them and everything. But, you know, you earn respect with your character. And I think, just being humble and working hard, and they see it. So I think that's how I earn my respect on and off the field. And, I think that's what helped success.
So the state title win, like I said up top, is Sentinel's first in 48 years. And that's a huge deal from, you know, a program history, culture, and just legacy standpoint. And being so fairly new to the program, how did you really kind of pick up on the tradition and what exactly that meant to get to that point?
Well, one of my good buddies, Gino Leonard, his grandpa was actually the coach of the last team who won it. So it was kind of a cool little generational thing. So he shared stories with me, and, you know, the parents share stories. So everyone's just so proud of this program, and it's been in the dumps before. There was a streak. My coaches were telling me there was a streak where they lost like 28 straight games. So as you go on, you hear so much history about it. And there's so much support around the program. And we got like custom backpacks from donors, and the coaches got a brand new, you know, 70-inch TV that a donor gave to them in their coach's room. And, you know, people are excited about Spartan football. And I think that's when I really realized, I was like, this is a huge deal. I mean, that was when we were announced as the number one seed, and people started really, you know, forking stuff over and donating. And like, it's just so much overwhelming support. That's when you know that tradition is real and it's there. So it was really cool to see, and to be able to bring it back to Missoula and make everyone just super happy, it was a great feeling.
We're a first team all league, all Big Nine quarterback at Wenatchee. Last season, you had been the quarterback there for, I believe it was 2 years. When you show up to Sentinel, you're showing up to a quarterback battle. You're showing up to a team that had gone through an entire off season together preparing. How exactly did you end up factoring into the team's strategy, and was it what you expected, the way that you were used as an athlete?
I mean, I came in fall camp, and the announcement was made that I was going to be the starter about 2 weeks before the first game. And a big part of that was the coaches wanted, you know, my running ability in the offense. I think that was one of the bigger things that we used this year, and it helped, you know, create spark on offense. And obviously, can't do it alone. The offensive line was great. Receivers are great. Running backs, you know, were distracted. They had distractions. They busted big runs. So it's all a team effort for sure. But I think they wanted that running, that spark from the quarterback position. And I think I delivered that this year. But we also rotated. I wasn't just the sole starter. We rotated like two series to one series all season. And it worked out great. I mean, obviously we won it. So it worked out for the best.
There has to be a chemistry there and a respect and an understanding, you know, with not only their quarterback, but with your teammates for that to work. Once you won the starting job, how did you build that?
I mean, it was definitely rocky at first. I mean, he's been there his whole life, and, you know, hearing that, I'm sure that's just not good. Not the news you wanted to hear, but it was, like I said, it was definitely rocky at first, but you got to do, you know, you got to put that behind you and do what's best for the team. So it was a mutual respect. He's a hell of a player. And we just, you know, you got to make the most out of each rep. And I think the competition is actually what drove our offense to be as good as it was. That competition at the quarterback position and at the, you know, our running back shared time too. So there's competition there. And so I think our, you know, what made us so good is that internal competition. So we were always striving to be the best. So we never played down to our opponent.
You finished with just under 1,000 yards passing, 11 touchdowns, 2 interceptions, and then, you know, rush for just under 900 yards with another 11 touchdowns. Your move came down to timing. It came down to a complete buy-in from your parents, from your brother who was already living in Missoula. And, you know, it was, you really bet on yourself in so many ways. But it, from my understanding, and correct me if I'm wrong, based on how you described it to me back in August, it took a village. I mean, it wasn't just you saying, hey, I want to do this. I want to play, at Sentinel. Given the circumstances of the pandemic, the unlikelihood that fall season was going to happen, what would your message be to those here in Washington who are, still training, still hard at work, and still waiting for their opportunity?
I keep going. Just never look back. But obviously, I was in a very fortunate position. Like you said, timing, and took a village, and I'm just so thankful that I had the opportunity to do this. But there, I believe and I still hope there will be an opportunity for all the kids back in Washington, because they deserve it. I see a couple of things on Twitter, Ayers doing a football team and whatnot, and I think that's great. Ford did that FSP ID camp thing. That's a great opportunity. Try and find those things, and try and find any opportunity you can get to get film or get your, get yourself in front of college eyes. That would be my message, but just keep grinding and keep going. And when you get that opportunity, make the most of it.
So you've signed up now to live in Missoula a little bit longer than you knew back in August, now committing to Montana. So there was some conversation back in August about whether or not, certainly the door would open with a spring football season here in Washington. That, hey, if everything went well, if you had a senior season and, you were healthy and willing, would you move back to Wenatchee and play and finish out your senior year with your teammates and guys that you'd grown up with? Is that on the table now that you're committed to stay in Missoula, moving back to Wenatchee?
Well, like you said, when you're signed up, it's kind of hard to leave. And I've built really, really good relationships here, and I'm comfortable here. And so I'm going to stay and do track with my buddies here. I mean, I love the guys back home, but this is kind of a new chapter in life, and sometimes you just gotta bite the bullet and move on. And I'm really glad I came, and I was sad to go at the same time, but I'm gonna stay in Missoula for the year.
Once, especially after you guys won state, and then the next day announced your commitment to Montana. Did you hear from friends, maybe family and former teammates at Wenatchee?
Yeah. Course. I mean, they're all super excited here. I grew up with them, obviously, and they saw my work, and I see their work, and I hope the best for them. And obviously my buddy JJ, he's committed to Air Force, and so I'm looking forward to see how his final season plays out. And I hope the best for all of them. And yeah, they definitely contacted me, and I heard a lot from family and friends, and it was great. It was just a super exciting experience.
Congratulations, Camden, on your last week, and then all the work it took in the months prior and over the summer to get there. Congratulations on everything, and thanks for joining me today. I hope you have a great holiday.
Yep, thank you.
I want to take a moment to tell you about our friends at Washington Federal. Washington Federal is a local bank and portfolio lender with more than 200 branches across 8 states, more than 32,000 fee-free ATMs, drive-up ATMs, 24/7 online and mobile banking, and Washington Federal is a proud sponsor of SB Live Sports and SB Live Washington. The folks at Washington Federal care deeply about high school sports and the communities that support them across the state of Washington and beyond. Head to wafdbank.com to learn how Washington Federal can help you meet your financial goals. That's wafdbank.com. Washington Federal, a neighbor you can count on. Academy is a private padded club football team that features some standout football players from across the state of Washington at the high school level. It's put on by Air Football, a training company that rolls out some of the more competitive 7-on-7 teams across the state, among other things. And over the summer, Reggie Jones, the former NFL player, founder, and CEO of Air, announced that a padded club football team would take place, be formed, coached by him, and play a national schedule. Especially coming at a time when high school sports have been postponed in the state of Washington. Air had its first game last weekend. They went down to Arizona and played against California-based Winter Circle Athletics. Air won 17-14 on Friday night. It was a game that featured several high-level college-bound players on each side of the ball. One of those leaders is none other than Todd Beamer's own four-star offensive tackle. If you follow recruiting, you certainly know of him. As a junior, he has offers from the likes of Bama, LSU, Oregon, UW, many more. Malik Agbo, thanks for joining me, man. How you doing?
Oh, yeah. It's always nice to meet you, man. I'm doing good. How are you?
I'm doing well. I appreciate you taking the time. And you're right now getting into the throes of a probably what I assume is a shortened Thanksgiving week of classes. And
yeah.
Online. But you just got back from Arizona where you guys played your first game. Was that the first time that you had played a live football game since last season with pads?
It has, you know, and it was just an awesome experience getting to go out with a good group of guys and being able to put on a pads and hit a different color helmet and all that good stuff. And keep in mind, we were like, it's been 365 days plus since we've actually got to do this. So let's make it count.
Did it feel like a high school football game? I mean, you guys have had about 3 months or so to train together, been practicing, you know, almost 5 days a week, if I'm not wrong. Did it have the feel of a high school football game? Did it feel something different?
You know, at first it did, like the first drive for offense and defense. I felt like, you know, getting the jitters out a little bit. But I mean, I think after the first quarter, really, that's when things started getting rolling. And we're like, yo, we're back to it. Let's go. So that was always, that's always been a nice experience. And for all of us, Winter Circle and Air Academy. So, yeah, I think that was pretty cool.
For high school football fans in the state, you have, you know, some teammates that folks might recognize their names that you don't go to school with. You might know, or you might have just gotten to know them these last few months. Walk me through just some of the guys you're playing with, what schools they're coming from, and just how it's been acclimating to a new team environment.
Yeah. You know, we've really been together for a while. It's like we may not know each other, but we know each other. That's how it would look as, you know, coming from outside in, right? It's like, wow, this team really, you know, has a good bond together. But keep in mind, we've only been together for 3 months. So I think our chemistry, team chemistry is there. Is there, and it's kind of hard to see how it's not there. So I think that's another pretty cool thing that we have got going on up here at Air Academy.
Who are some of your teammates?
Yeah, some of my teammates: Vega, Ione, Rashawn Clark, Curtis Hill, Hunter Hill, the two twins from GK, Josiah Wagner, you know, Jordan Dwyer, you know, a lot of Puyallup guys, you know, and we just get together along, man. It's awesome.
That's a talented group too, a talented bunch of guys that'll be playing at the next level. I'd imagine that at least playing with that crop of talent must be, you know, pretty rewarding on your end.
Oh yeah, it is. You know, seeing these group of guys, you know, become good players, you know, and seeing them face to face and seeing them get to play on the other side of the ball, all of us getting hyped up, that's awesome.
But there's an entire conversation to be had about, you know, how the shutdown of high school-based sports in Washington, at least, have impacted the mental health of high school students and athletes. And there's also, you know, a smaller percentage that are really looking for opportunities to boost their recruitment at a time where a lot of states around the country are playing. I know one of the reasons that this was started, this padded football team, was to provide that opportunity. For you, your recruitment had taken off and you have created options for yourself and offers at the next level. What went into your decision to play with this team?
You know, just the simple fact that I love the game of football, really, you know, and, you know, getting used to being in pads again and having the passion for the game, a love for the game, you know, I just had to do it. So, and also the group of guys like Coach Reg, Coach Ty, you know, those are great guys, you know, and they're never going to sell you short of anything either. They're going to keep it straight, keep it real. And that's what I like to surround myself around. Those are the group of guys who I like to surround myself around.
Talk me through last weekend. You guys flew into Vegas, was it? What was it like showing up and just everything from taking off in Seattle to when you guys kicked off? What was that kind of interim experience like?
It was pretty cool. And, you know, we kind of, or Coach Ty prepared us for this. But as you know, here, it gets real cold in the fall and winters. And so when we're going down there, it was like a cool 70 degrees. And so we drank water. We ate the right things, ate banana, all the stuff you need to prepare. And so, you know, the weather change was cool. A new scenery after not being able to leave the state for a little bit was cool. So I think all of us, you know, really had a good kick out of it. So that was awesome. Seeing everybody, you know, come together, bond, and take care of business in a different state too. That's another big thing.
No question. I know some of the games on the schedule and just how a schedule is crafted, it's obviously done, you know, above your head as a player. Right. But at what point did you know that this opponent you had last weekend was set in stone? I believe you guys have another opponent, Trinity Christian, coming up this weekend too. Is that right?
Yep. We're going down to Texas. What was it? Friday. And then the game was at Saturday. So that'll be pretty cool.
What's the process been like of just learning about the opponents? Are you getting film on these guys? Do you have a good sense of kind of who's where and what the makeup of each team is?
Right. Now, that's a good question because, you know, we'll find out. Or when we were playing in a circle, we found out, like, I think 3-4 weeks before. So we kind of had time to, you know, prepare for those guys. But at the same time, nobody has film because these are two club teams that came together. So, you know, it was kind of, you know, our best guys in our best plays versus their guys in their best plays. But I think this week, you know, we kind of have a sense of what we're getting ourselves into, and, you know, we can actually prepare like an actual football team and stuff like that. So, you know, that's exciting. That's exciting. And that's how it's kind of been, really. I think it's changed. It changes from time to time.
You guys have been practicing at Life Christian Academy in Tacoma. I believe when the program was first announced, there was an option to both play for the team and then enroll in school in some form.
Yeah.
Have any of your teammates taken that opportunity, or have most remained enrolled in their high schools? What's the breakdown?
I would say most of us remained in our high schools. I know that a couple of freshmen that were supposed to go to, you know, different schools, or more class of 2024 guys, they were supposed to go to this school, but decided to go to Life Christian Academy, which makes sense. So, I think that's pretty cool to get an opportunity to go somewhere.
What have practices been like?
Oh, yeah. Practices, they've been fun, man. You know, we compete. And, you know, we make fun, too. We have fun. We dance and all that stuff. But when it's crunch time, you know, we settle down and we get the job done. And that's what I like. You know, find a perfect balance between the two.
At this point, you know, high school sports are still on pause in the state of Washington, and the picture is still a little murky as to when they're going to return. Football, as of now, is scheduled for a shortened season starting in March. How has that impacted your recruitment? Have you narrowed down when you want to make a decision? Where are you at in that process, and how has that been impacted by just everything that's going on?
I mean, it's been crazy, man. You know, my head's all over the place. I'm going to keep it real. I'm going to be honest. Head's all over the place. I don't know if they're going to, you know, find a condensed version of us to get back on the field or anything like that. But I've been staying in contact with the college coaches and all that good stuff. So, I mean, I think time will tell and all that. So,
do you have schools that stand out to you that are in the leader of the pack right now? Do you have schools that you're prioritizing at this point, or have you not narrowed it down yet?
I haven't narrowed it down yet, but the schools that contacted me or that are contacting me the most, you know, is Tennessee, LSU, USC, Utah. Yeah, there's been a couple schools that, you know, stand out from the rest, most definitely. There's no doubt.
Awesome. Well, I wish you the best of luck in that process. And, you know, one of the things that struck me throughout this shutdown of high school sports over the last 8 months is, you know, not just things like this Air Academy football team that's popped up, and, you know, things like that FSP padded scrimmage that happened, and, you know, those types of opportunities coming up for kids and high school athletes your age, but it's the opportunities that you guys have made for yourselves. And one of those, it's huge. And it's been, I feel like there's been some really true colors from a leadership standpoint shown by a lot of people, you included, in your age. You know, we first met a couple months ago at the COVID Sevens tournament that Milton Hopkins at O'Day had kind of spearheaded, but it went weekend after weekend, immensely, really popular, tons of schools, great competition.
It took off, man. It didn't take long to take off either.
And the coolest part too is that at least when I was there, everything was player led. You were reffing. You guys were, you know, it was like it was entirely player led. Which I mean, what was it like being a part of that experience, knowing that you know you guys were making the best out of a tough circumstance?
Oh, it was, you know, he kind of texted me and said, "Yo, do you want to ref for this COVID sevens? You know, it's player led and everything." And I thought, you know, of course. I want to see some football, you know. I want to be a part of something that can be beneficial to not just me or Milton or anybody else who was reffing, but for everybody. So that's how I thought of it as an opportunity for everybody to, you know, go out and have fun and win and all that stuff. Just some type of normalcy to football. That's it.
No question, you know, and it's one of those things where you guys are making opportunities for others. I know that weekend that you reffed and we talked, you know, there it was a, you know, Kennedy Lakes final, and it was, you know, you had some great athletes on the field and some of the state's top athletes there at that tournament. That next weekend, though, Milton said, you know what, I want to create an opportunity for JV teams and, you know, make sure everyone's getting a chance. And so that's one of the things I really appreciated about your guys' effort there as players. But looking back at this upcoming weekend, Trinity Christian down in Texas, what's your plan? You head down there Friday. Do you know much about them, and how are you guys game planning for them?
Oh, yeah. So yesterday we just kind of went over stuff from last week's game. And this week, I think today and the rest of this week, you know, we're preparing hard because we know who's down there. You got Deion Sanderson down there. And, you know, we know what we're getting ourselves into. And so I think we're going to prepare like crazy, man. Hopefully we get to go down in Texas turf and take over. That's the plan. So I'm excited for that.
Yeah, man. Well, I wish you the best of luck, Malik, and appreciate you joining the podcast today. So it's been great talking with you. And again, safe travels this weekend.
Oh, yeah. Thank you. Always good talking to you, man. No doubt.
This podcast is brought to you by SB Life Washington and SB Life Sports, your national hub for high school sports news and information. Subscribe for free wherever you get podcasts. You can find our work at scorebooklive.com/Washington. As always, a big thanks to our sponsor, Washington Federal. And thanks to Dan Dickow and Todd Millis for bringing the heat every week. The song you're hearing is by the band Woodrow. It's called So Far Away, written by Carl Johnson, James Schroeder, and my dad, Matt Bueller. I'm Andy Bueller. Talk to you next week.